Reloading for 2012.
The next step.
It's the start of the next round.
In 2012.
We'll be back next year, I'm sure.
2012.
What happens next?
So during our Flash Forward series this week, we're trying to look ahead and give you a glimpse at some of the big topics of conversation for this new year. And one of them is going to be our weight, the weight of Americans, which has gone up significantly. If you don't believe me, Google it. Take a look at the average weight of an American since, say, 1940. But that becomes a real problem when it comes to our kids. Here's a startling statistic. There are about 48.5 million kids in the United States right now between the ages of 6 and 18. A third of them are either obese or overweight. And two-thirds of them eat lunch at their schools that participate in the National School Lunch Program. That's not alarming, but it does kind of give us an idea of how we might begin to address, maybe, the obesity problem. Joining us this morning is Tony Geraci, Executive Director of Child Nutrition for Memphis City Public Schools. 17% of the high school students there are obese, Tony. How do you address that through one meal a day?
Well, so how you address it is through changes in the in what's being offered. Right now, we're offering a lot more fruits, vegetables. We're in the process of eliminating some of the flavored milks and bringing awareness to some of the food that they eat. I mean, we've successfully raised an entire generation of children that think fruit is a flavor and has nothing to do with food.
And yet, Tony, we're talking about one meal a day, and the kids are basically a captive audience. You know what I mean? I mean, they don't have any other option than what you're offering them if they have lunch money, right? So how does that change their decisions when they're sitting at home and they're doing their homework and they go to the pantry or the fridge and there's, you know, ice cream and there's chips and there's all kinds of, frankly, terrible foods?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, you have to reinforce the good lessons that they're learning in school at home. But first, I think that you have to expose kids to real food. And I think that we have an issue with kids even recognizing what real food is. I mean, they're bombarded and barraged every day with like processed crap, and that's their reference point. That's what they think real food is. And I think that by introducing like real whole foods at their school, it begins a conversation around what food is.
We're speaking with Tony Geraci, Executive Director of Child Nutrition for Memphis City Public Schools. Also with us this morning is Marion Nessel, Professor of Nutrition at New York University and author of What to Eat. You know, Marion, I just get absolutely overwhelmed by this problem because clearly when we say obesity epidemic, it is an epidemic. I mean, there are people who die from complications of obesity, and it's all over the United States. And yet we have a Congress which tried to say that pizza qualifies as a vegetable in school lunches. How do you solve this?
Well, I think you throw the bums out and elect better and elected officials who represent something about public health more than corporate health. I think it's just astounding that Congress is micromanaging the Department of Agriculture's rules for what's served in schools. I mean, I thought what Tony had to say was really interesting because schools do much more than just serving lunch. They set an example for what's normal to eat. If you're fed junk food in schools, the message that gets sent to kids is that junk food is what they're supposed to be eating. If somebody in a school really cares about what kids are eating and is serving delicious food and really is involved with the kids and talks to them about it, then that tells kids that food is really important and that adults care about it and care about what they're eating. And so it goes way beyond just what's served in lunch, although I think that's really important. That's why schools are so important. They really matter.
Well, but let me play you this clip. This is Michelle Obama, who, of course, has been talking a lot about this issue. Take a listen.
Fresh fruits and vegetables have gotten more expensive, while convenience foods have gotten cheaper. And really, let's be honest. I mean, sometimes as parents today, we are just plain tired. Can I get an amen?
She's talking about two things there, Marion. She's talking about the time-consuming nature of preparing foods from scratch. And she's talking about the fact that there's urban deserts. There's places, especially in urban areas, where you can go blocks and blocks, perhaps miles, before you find a place where there's fresh food available.
Well, what she's not talking about is the role of the food industry in all of this. We have a food industry in this country that markets to children directly and usually markets the products that are most profitable and least nutritious. And so if you, as a parent, what I heard in what she said was that parents just don't want to fight with their kids about food. They've got too many other things to do. And that's really what you have to do if you're trying to teach your kid to be healthy in an environment in which the entire food environment is set up to make kids eat junk food.
All right,
preferably all the time.
That's Marion Nessel, a professor of nutrition at New York University. Let's go back to Tony Geraci, who's the executive director of child nutrition for the Memphis City Public Schools. You know, and Tony, Forbes a couple years ago ranked Memphis as both the most sedentary and the most obese city in the country. And those are two different things. That includes not only what kids are eating, but how much activity they're getting. I mean, do you guys have regular recess? Do you have a PE program there?
Yeah, there is a PE program, and we were one of the recipients of the Walmart grant recently to help us redesign our child nutrition program. That's one of the reasons why I'm here in Memphis. We have this 217,000 square foot central kitchen processing center that until recently was kind of dormant. So we've actually started recreating our own food. And Marion is absolutely right. The food industry has kind of held child nutrition hostage for decades now. And the only way that you can take it back is to start recreating the food that you're serving kids. So we canceled all of our orders of Pop-Tarts and cookies and things like that and started doing our own stuff. You know, we actually cooked our own chicken on the bone, which was kind of unheard of in this industry, but it's the notion of going back to real from scratch cooking. You know, putting the food on the tray for me is the byproduct of what I'm supposed to do as the executive director of the child nutrition program. Putting healthy kids in front of educators ready to learn is what I'm supposed to do. Child nutrition is a readiness issue. It's not just, feeding a kid.
But do the kids like it? Do they eat it?
Yeah. Yeah, actually they do, and our kids are very much involved in this process. When I got here, the first thing that I did was I got groups of kids from all of the schools around the city, as part of taste testing panels. So they're very much involved in what we do and how we do it. Everything that I touch and do now, unless it's kid approved, I don't do it.
Wow.
It doesn't make sense.
Let me ask you, Marion, because I just had this discussion with my teenager last night. It explained to her how many servings of fruits and vegetables she need every day. Help parents make this argument. How do we explain to kids why it's important to get fruits and vegetables into their diet?
Oh, because they have vitamins and minerals and don't have a lot of calories, and they're part of the best kinds of diets have a variety of different kinds of real foods, not processed foods. And kids can understand that. But I think the point about whether the kids will eat it is a very, very important one. And in the schools that I visited, and they must be just like Tony's, the ones that work have adults in the school who not only make healthy food but also care very much that the kids are eating it and do everything that they can to work with the kids to understand why this is important and why it's delicious and why they should care and why it's fun to eat healthy food. And the kids usually get it and eat it. Adolescents are kind of difficult to work with for a lot of people. Anyone with teenagers can tell you that. And I'm not sure that parents are always the best people to try to do this. But you have house rules. This is the way we eat in our house. And if parents are setting an example and the schools are setting an example, the kids are going to go off and sneak junk food whenever they can. But they'll become adults, too, and will be grateful that somebody cared about them enough to try to have them grow up healthy.
And we'll have to leave it there. That's Marion Nessel, professor of nutrition at New York University, author of What to Eat, and Tony Geraci, executive director of child nutrition from Memphis City Public Schools, that can come cook for my kids anytime. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Well, I'll tell you what. I snuck a lot of junk food. I have a sweet tooth, but this kid is grateful that my mom forced me to eat healthy. I'll tell you that. Well, you guys are already chiming in on this issue about healthy school lunches. Manrique from West Palm Beach writes, schools certainly influence and should educate kids about the benefits of healthy eating, but it absolutely starts at home. What we tell our kids about nutrition makes all the difference. Give us your take at 8778-MY-TAKE or post to the website, thetakeaway.org. And while you're there, tell us, should college athletes get paid like Joan O'Sara thinks from the New York Times? We want to hear from you. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.